My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
All right, final hour on a Vibe Check Tuesday here on the Hoffman Show. If you missed the Vibe Check in hour one, that's what the podcast is for. Just search the Hoffman Show wherever you get your podcasts, including the only place you can also listen live to the show, the free Odyssey app. Well, of course, outside of your radio, or unless you want to watch it, then we're on YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. Earlier today, I had the chance to catch up with Bill Smith, the NFL Director of Research and Analytics, talk about the brand new NFL Pro, and here's that conversation. Joining us now is the NFL's Director of Research and Analytics, and that is a big title, and he does a lot of really cool stuff. It's Bill Smith, and Bill, a lot more of that cool stuff is going to be accessible to all of us this year, as there is a whole new, like, you guys aren't even calling it Game Pass anymore. It's NFL Plus, NFL Pro is the extension of the NFL Plus, where you guys are now allowing sorting and searching and all kinds of cool stuff, all kinds of integration. To the all 22 game film and a lot of the next gen stats and features. I probably just done a terrible job butchering, Bill, all of the cool stuff that you do. It's just so much stuff. It's hard to encapsulate. So first of all, thanks for your time and welcome to the show. And two, I would say, do you want to do a better job of what I just did of kind of explaining some of the new stuff here? And then we're actually going to give folks that are watching as opposed to listening to this a demo of what you guys have built. So again, welcome. And how would you try to summarize what you guys tried to do with this new project?
No, thanks, Craig. Appreciate you having me. I think you did a pretty good job. So what we've done with the Next Gen Stats specifically platform is it's been something that's been internal facing that we've had access to since 2016. We've really been ramping it up, trying to add as many cool stats and data points as we can to contextualize the game, to really get fans more in-depth knowledge of what's exactly playing out on the field. And we've been working over the past year or so to really try to get fans a better offering so they can engage with the data. So as you mentioned, we released NFL Pro as part of the NFL Plus premium subscription for this season. NFL Pro really productizes a lot of the great next-gen stats and other data that the NFL holds. And then what we really wanted to do is we really wanted to tie everything to the All-22, to the coaches film, so that you can see just the power of the data and that you can see the validity of the data, so that you can not just say, like, hey, here's this number and this stat. Like, what does it really mean? Well, we tied all the plays that fall underneath specific filters and queries, so you can watch just that subset of playlists. You can search All-22 and watch all of a quarterback's third and long attempts, all those attempts against the blitz, to really, like, hone in and be more efficient on how you're watching film to be able to give fans really a best-in-class experience.
So this is something that teams through a variety of platforms have had access to for a long time. I always just kind of wonder that the more that the league has extended the ability to watch the All-22, especially to media and then certainly to fans as well, whether you just kind of go in some of those platforms and like, hey, let's add a 33rd team that there's no access to practice footage and like let's just try to do that. Why ultimately did you guys go the route you did, building something new that is more integrated into the familiar place that fans and media have been finding All-22 film and the next gen stats for years?
we really just wanted to democratize access to the data in the film. There shouldn't be a barrier to entry, whether it's from a media side, whether it's wanting to break into coaching, scouting, whether that it whatever that may be, like having access to do your own research, to get yourself more familiar with the game, to learn more about the games. Like, that's what we want for fans, for media. That's what we want for everyone throughout the football ecosystem. Like, everyone getting more access to data, more access to the video only brings the level of intelligence of everyone up. It only brings the level of awareness of everyone up. And it just really, like, lets people a little bit more on the inside. It helps them, as we call it, NFL pro. It helps you, like, be more of a pro with your fandom, with your, you know, content on the media side. We really just want to, you know, give everyone the ability to access all the great data that we have access to.
No doubt. And I will say it will help this show a lot, because, you know, as well as having to sort through, or like if I used to want to watch a team back and be like, all right, I want to watch the Commanders' next opponent, and I want to watch just their offense, like I'd have to kind of scroll through. It was a little bit clunky, to be nice about it. Bill, I'm sure you have gotten a lot of feedback on that over the years from all angles. But now I can just sort through, and we'll give folks a demo of that in just a second. But one last question I have for you on the front end here, Bill, before we dive into the product itself, is data is only as good as folks' ability to use it. You know, every team across the league has basically the same data. Their ability to use that data, you know, creates for them a competitive advantage or disadvantage if they're not using it well. When you think about fan-facing data and making sure that it gets that fans really understand what they're looking at, do you have either a good example or kind of an overall methodology that you think about in making sure that the data, now that it's all available, is used to really enhance fans' understanding of the game?
Yeah, absolutely. We tried to design the platform with a large spectrum of fans in mind. If you're a real diehard, avid, heavy data fan, you'll see when I give the demo of the product, we have statistical dashboards that you can dive into, do your own research, and pull out your own insights and findings. If you're a more casual fan and you want to sort of be led to water of like how we can utilize this data, my team each and every week is going through and doing research for, you know, NFL Network, NFL Media. We're working with the game crews and providing some of what we think are the best insights that may lead and help determine the outcome of a game based on team tendencies, team performance, player performance, scheme. All of those are in here, and they're sort of spoon-fed to you throughout the process. So if you're more casual, we can sort of elevate to you what we think is the most important things each week. And if you're more avid and you want to do the research yourself, we've provided the mechanism for you to be able to do that.
Bill Smith, NFL Director of Research and Analytics, now going to show us this fancy new product. And I will describe for everyone who's listening to this on the radio or catches this on the on-demand and podcast form, kind of what is on the screen to the best that I can. But of course, if you want to check out with the visual, Bill and the folks at the NFL have given us the green light to be able to actually show you all 22 tape at the Team 980 and at Craig Hoffman on YouTube. So Bill, I'm going to go ahead and pull up this shared screen that you have, and you can take us where are you going to take us? Because there's a stats platform, then there's kind of a film platform. So this from just on a baseline level, looks like you have kind of the two sites that used to live in Game Pass on the film side, and then the next gen stats site are now all in one place. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. So when we land you here on the homepage of NFL Pro, we sort of give you openings to the rabbit holes for each of the two main offerings in the product. You have the stats section, you have the film room. If you scroll down on the homepage, there are a few more things. We have some of those custom insights that I talked about for teams and players for each week going in. You scroll down. One of the things we really wanted to do is really explain what the next gen stats data is, what it's measuring, and why it's important for all of your football and fantasy decision making. So there's a lot of educational components throughout the product. You scroll down more. We have each matchup throughout the week. You can scroll through and click and get a little top line information on each one. Continue to scroll down. There's some high level stats and standings, but I'll go back up and I'll start with the stats page. So if you click into the
season, by the way, right now features Terry McLaurin as the featured image. Bill, I don't know if you did that just for us, but we're going to pretend that you did and say we appreciate it.
Hey, I'll take it. Any credit we can get, we'll take the positive feedback. So again, you scroll into season stats, it lands you on the passing page. We have stats pages for passing, rushing, receiving, and defense from an individual perspective, as well as team offense and team defense. Again, right at the top of the page, we have some sort of explainer content on some of the metrics. So you look at time to throw, it sort of tells you how we categorize them, what the NFL average is on a pass at about 2.75 seconds, and then some stats that are correlated and related to time to throw. So if you think about quarterback pressure, that's related on time to throw. The longer the quarterback holds onto a pass, the more likely he is to be pressured. And then air yards per attempt, the longer the quarterback holds onto the ball, the more likely it is for him to throw the ball further downfield. So just some of that more educational content to sort of show fans what they're going to see below. If you scroll down in passing, it's just like any other stats table you've seen. For this, I want to go into the rushing, though, and look at some Commanders stuff in general. You go into the rushing stats, you scroll down, you have the stats table.
There's both basic and advanced stats here. Just for the folks listening, you have yards and yards from scrimmage, rushing yards, whatever version this looks like. Mm-hmm. Did McCaffrey really have 1,400 rushing yards last year?
He did. He had almost 300 more rushing yards than anyone else in the
league. God, I didn't realize that. That's why I said for a second, I was like, that yards from scrimmage? No, Christian McCaffrey actually had 1,459 yards rushing last year. It helps when he averages 5.4 a carry. But you also have things like rush EPA, and you have a lot more advanced stats down here as well. And I think what's really cool, Bill, on this right side of the chart here, the table, is you also have some how many times did he get into a rush where he breaks 15 or 20 miles an hour? So you talk about the explosive ability and like when do these guys really get into the third level and get to open it up. You get to see how often that happens. So that's really cool. And on the next gen side of it as well.
Absolutely. So if you go through here, you can then utilize some of the next gen stats splits to see how different running backs are faring in different situations. So if you open up the splits, you can look at inside or outside the tackles, how they're doing versus how many defenders are in the box, whether the quarterback's in shotgun, under center, or pistol, where they are, if it's red zone or goal to go, like big upside there for fantasy usage. So if we click into light box, so from a Commander's perspective, maybe didn't see as many light boxes as other teams in the league last season. Now with a rushing quarterback in Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury wanting to open up the offense a little bit, maybe you see more light boxes. So if you sort the rushing by the rushing yards over expected, which is a next gen stats metric that tries to isolate the running back's contribution in different of the offensive line and a lot of the scheme, you can see that, you know, Brian Robinson was 15th in the league last season. And even though he may have only averaged 4.5 yards per carry against the light box, and that might not be one of the highest in the league, you can see that he gained 40 yards over what he was expected to gain on those particular rushes last season. The really, really cool thing about this, all these statistical dashboards and everything within NFL Pro, you see if you're watching a lot of gold numbers on the stats dashboards, any number that is gold is a link. So Brian Robinson had 93 rush attempts against the light box last season. I can click that 93.
And then it
automatically curates
that
Bill.
Playlist. That's great stuff, Bill. That's what we're talking about.
So it goes in and it plays those 93 plays. We have all the metadata on the play. So time, quarter, down, distance, field position, the 22 players who are on the field, and it just runs sideline, end zone, all the way through. So in addition, we have filters on the left-hand side of the page here. So if you want to see, you know, rushing, and you only want to see, you know, maybe they're going to look to run outside the tackles more often this season, you can select outside the tackles. It goes from 93 plays to 44 plays. Within here, the URL for someone like yourself doing content is customized to the exact playlist you have. If you share this out on social media, your followers can click in directly through this link and they'll land on the same 44 plays. So they can watch exactly what you're watching as someone who's doing the research on the Commanders week in and week out. These playlists are also savable here at the bottom. So if you want to set a 2024 playlist for Brian Robinson rushing outside the tackles against the light box, you can come back each and every week and it'll already be populated with plays from that last week's game as you continue throughout the season. So it's really cool. It's really powerful how the stats and the film work together.
So let me ask you on the kind of the your end of it, what kind of team do you have working on this, and how fast are you guys able to turn this around considering how in-depth this is?
So we have a decent sized team of 8 to 10 people working to get custom curated insights for every game each season throughout the week. And hold on, I can pull up the Commanders game for this week. If you go to the game page, you'll see on the matchup insights that we have things specifically curated for each game. And then the data and film, I do want to call out, are available at 6 a.m. Eastern the day following the game. So it's not updating live. It's not there directly after the game, but it is in first thing the next morning. It's the same schedule that the teams get access to the data and the all 22 from the league. So we're really democratizing it for the fan and really want to give everyone access to the same data and film that coaches, front office members, and players are privy to.
That's huge, because that has been, I'm sure you're well aware of, one of the issues, let's call it, with Game Pass in the past is it's kind of a mystery box of when exactly it would pop up. And most of the time it would be there by like noon on Tuesday, but sometimes your game didn't quite pop up. But to know that it's a part of that same system that teams are getting, it feels like it's going to be super reliable, which is great. Really excited. Bill Smith is with us here. He is the NFL's Director of Research and Analytics. All right, Bill, we got time for maybe one more trick if you got time, if there's anything else that you want to show us on this site.
Absolutely. So as we sort of have talked about with my team going through and creating these custom insights each week, the first place that we start for where we go down the rabbit hole is here at what we've created on each game page. We're calling the matchup comparison tool. So we've taken each team and how they're doing in a specific subset of our next gen stats data and ranked them based on EPA per play, EPA, total EPA, and success rate, and then have them on a rolling average to rank teams in certain categories such as passing under pressure or on play action, against the blitz, deep passing. And we then are able to create an advantage for teams going into certain games. I will say for the Commanders specifically, going into week one, this is based on 2023 data, new coaching staff, new quarterback. I would say this isn't as relevant for this specific game as it is with two teams who have consistent coach quarterback. But we have this available. So if you want to start your research each week with, hey, here's a place where, you know, the Commanders may have an advantage over their opponent, or here's a place where I think one of my fantasy players will have a big game, like, we give this to you, and then you can go and do your own research further down the rabbit hole. It's a really powerful tool. It's really cool way to start your research process each week, and we're just really excited to get it in the hands of fans throughout the country.
No doubt. When you say a rolling average, obviously this year, or for week one, it's based off last year, but like, you know, by week four, let's say this year, will that just be the first 4 weeks? Will it be like 3 weeks at a time? How is that going to evolve throughout the season to try to capture current form?
So it'll be a rolling average with just looking at 2024. So again, in weeks, rolling into weeks two and three, the sample sizes are going to be small. But as we continue to go throughout the season and get more data on teams, it'll become more and more powerful. Really, just as a quick one, if you go into the kickoff game and look and click on the matchups for the Chiefs and the Ravens, one that always sticks out to us is the Ravens play action pass offense ranked first in the league last season. Lamar Jackson averaged almost 11 yards per attempt on play action. And that's a place the Chiefs defense struggled last season. So again, Baltimore adds Derrick Henry. The Chiefs lose L'Jarius Sneed this offseason. We see that as an advantage for Baltimore. Maybe that's somewhere that they lean in this kickoff game to try to pull off the upset in Kansas City.
This is awesome stuff. And I've gotten a glimpse of some of this over the years with some of the people that I've worked with. And when I was a beat reporter, and occasionally a player would pull out their iPad and show me something, and the way they can navigate it. I love that word that you've used, to democratize this for fans everywhere. It's really tremendous stuff. So first of all, thank you. Second of all, thank you for your time here on the show. And best of luck with everything that you're doing. This is awesome stuff, Bill, and we really appreciate you sharing it with us.
Absolutely. Again, NFL Pro is available as part of NFL Plus Premium. It's a really awesome product. We're really proud of it. And any feedback you have, please let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Bill, you're doing my job now, but just to make sure that we got all the copy points in, NFL Pro provides access to all 22 coaches' film and next-gen stats. It's available with an NFL Plus premium subscription at pro.nfl.com. And for more information on NFL Plus, visit nfl.com/plus. Bill Smith, everybody, NFL Director of Research and Analytics with us. All right. Appreciate Bill's time a little bit earlier today. And again, if you want to see any of that in actual action, one, you can sign up for NFL Pro and get that through NFL Plus. Just go to pro.nfl.com. Or if you just want the demo first before you try to test drive it yourself, go watch the second half of that interview on YouTube at the Team 980 or at Craig Hoffman. It'll be up right after the show tonight or first thing tomorrow morning if you want to see us navigating the screen, because it really is super ridiculously helpful as a way to follow the game, be a fan of the game. I'm not just saying that because they were nice enough to give us Bill and have him on the show. Like, I started playing around and I reached out to them. I was like, can somebody tell me more about this? This is sick, please. Okay, great. And it will definitely also help the show this year because the ability for me to get into the numbers and the analysis, both on the next gen stats side, but also just to be able to quickly and efficiently watch something that we're going to talk about on the show is just completely different than we've ever had before. Speaking of actual scheme, football stuff, how are the Commanders going to look on defense this year? Not in like, hey, we think they'll be good. What are they actually going to do? We'll talk about it next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube on the team or at the Team 980 as well. And Anthony, I will mention the YouTube because actually I have a question as we get into the Commanders defense. Do we consider there to be 4 returning starters or 5 returning starters on this unit from last year? And I know that might sound like a really silly question, but I was making the graphic that we put, because on the show, we're professionals. It's not just Anthony and I in boxes talking about sports. It's Anthony and I in boxes with the graphic below us, like a proper radio show that's being put on video. As we have the DC skyline in our graphic. It's very fancy. But I said only 4 starters remain from league worst 2023 unit because I'm not going to count Quan Martin as a returning starter. Where he's playing is not where he played last year, and he wasn't a starter for most of the season. And I don't know that he would have been had there been injuries. So of the 11 players that started and like were primary starters for the Commanders last year, the only 4 that are still in their spots this year, as we take a look at the Commanders' defense and how they're going to use all these guys from a schematic standpoint, what they're trying to accomplish, et cetera, are John Allen, Daron Payne, Emmanuel Forbes, Benjamin St. Juice. Every single other starter is different. Both edges, famously gone. The linebacking core, totally different. starting safeties, Chin and Kwan. Kwan was a nickel last year, not a safety, even though he wound up playing a little bit of safety by the end of the year. But he's a full-time safety now, and he's the starter. He was never the starting safety last year. And guys like Derek Forrest and Percy Butler, who were, are now reserves. Jeremy Reeves, reserve. The corners, there's not even another corner on the roster that is a holdover from last year, if I'm remembering correctly. Because Kendall's gone, and like they cut Castro Fields and like all the backups. Christian Holmes got cut like a week into camp. Linebacker-wise, like Jamin's back, but he ain't playing linebacker anymore. And then on the D-line, like Big Phil's the only guy that's around. So it is, for a unit that was real bad, they sure turned it over, Ant, which we can talk about the X's and O's in a second, but the old Jimmys and Joes are different Jimmys and different Joes.
Yeah. You got a lot of work to do. But I think the revamped defense, essentially, it's more so just, again, in response to like how poor our roster was last year. But I think when it comes to, you know, looking at the four starters that are returning, I think John and Deron, I think they have big seasons ahead. Like, and we're going to talk about it later in the week. But when I think about players that whose like seasons or, you know, I guess, yeah, seasons we should like be monitoring. I think John and Deron are like right up there. And I would really put John Allen ahead of Deron, to be honest, just because of, you know, I guess he's going to be going into a contract season.
Yep.
Super soon. And then also,
This is kind of a contract year for him. He's got no guaranteed money after this season.
Exactly.
And we know how that goes in the league.
So I just think all eyes are going to be on, you know, John, whether or not, like, we keep him. Again, Adam Peters did say we have a couple of cornerstone pieces. Is John Allen one of those cornerstone pieces that we have? And defensively, I would love that, you know, love it for that to be the case. But at the same token, John Allen, he wants to win. So that's also, you know, something to be monitoring, like, whether or not he's willing to, you know, continue to buy into, like, what we have here. Or, you know, if he wants to look at
it. It's going the right direction. Yeah. It feels like it's only got a couple more years left, which is crazy because, like, John's...
It sounded like he just signed his contract.
Yeah. Yesterday. Or it just also feels like he just got drafted yesterday.
That too.
Like, not ready for John Allen old guy, but, like, we're kind of a John Allen old guy relative to the rest of the roster outside of, like, obviously some of the vets they bring in, Zach and Bobby, et cetera. But it also feels like, you know, John and Terry specifically have been guys that have had to be leaders and step up in ways that they weren't really prepared for and be vets since the days they were drafted because they didn't do a good job of filling out the locker room with the right guys otherwise. And now you have guys like legit gold jacket guy in Wagner and potential gold jacket guy in Ertz that have legitimate NFL experience far beyond anything John Allen and Terry McLaurin have ever experienced. And this is one of the first times in their careers that they can say that. They can look around the room and be like, oh man, it's not all on me. I think it's interesting because when we did our most important Commanders countdown, we put Deron ahead of John, and that gets into some of the scheme stuff. I think how they move these guys around is going to be really fascinating. And one thing that has caught my eye is a very silly little thing, but they have listed Dante Fowler as an outside linebacker. And Frankie Louvu is obviously an outside linebacker. I wonder if we're going to see some legitimate base 3-4 stuff from them this year in times when you're not actually expecting base defenses. And what I mean by that is, do you see Dante Fowler, Frankie Louvu on the edge around John, Deron, and Jerzon Newton in third down situations? It's like, this is our blitz package. What's up? It's a 3-4 front. And maybe Dominique Hampton is the linebacker behind it. Or is Bobby still out there? Or do they just play a bunch of safe? Like, they've got so much positional versatility and flexibility that it is both exciting and terrifying, I think, if you're a Commanders fan. And this gets into some of the scheme questions in terms of, like, what are they going to do this year? One, I think it is going to be less high risk than we saw in the preseason and in camp. Dan Quinn said straight up, we wanted to test guys and see how they would handle certain situations in ways that we might not during the regular season. So this idea that they're going to put Benjamin St. Juice and Emmanuel Forbes out on islands and be like, hey, sorry, this is just how we play, I have a hard time believing that's going to be true. Not that it won't happen some. There's going to be times in the NFL where as a corner, you got to play man-to-man, or you're in a corner three and you wind up in essentially a man-to-man, and you just got to strap on your helmet and go play. That's football, baby. But there's also times where you can show that stuff and then try to create opportunities to create turnovers. Like, let's show single high, then all of a sudden we're going to rotate to two and it's a simulated pressure. And that corner that looked like he was in a cover one or cover three man-to-man is actually in cover two. And that creates a prime a chance to confuse a quarterback and throw a ball right to a DB. And you got to catch it. And even if you don't know what any of the cover two and rotated safeties and simulated pressures stuff that I just said means, like, you understand what it means to trick a quarterback and have him throw one right to you. That's good. Those are the kinds of things that haven't been happening here in the past. And, you know, you have to become really clear with your assignments. And that is something that has been emphasized this year is, hey, we want you to go after this other thing that you used to have to also worry about. Don't worry about that. That's someone else's job. And if we lose on that, I'm not going to yell at you. And I think beyond the schematic stuff, where I think they'll have a mix of coverages, I think there'll be some single high stuff, some two high stuff. They'll ask some guys to play man-to-man sometimes. They'll be in a lot of zone match. You know, they'll have different options and a bunch of, I think you'll see a lot of small guys on the field, a lot of team trying to get team speed on the field. The most important thing is they play fast and they play physical. And I know that's like maybe not the most in-depth analysis, but I think what you saw last year is what happens when you play slow, you play hesitant, and you lack physicality. You give up a lot of points, it's really ugly, and everyone hates it, and you lose a lot. And I think on a baseline level this year, the fast physical part is going to be present. And then how they actually deploy those, you know, all those different players, Anthony, that is going to evolve on a week-by-week basis.
Yeah, I think the last point you just made sort of kind of answers the question I had, because they had 12 starters listed. I don't know if you peeped that.
Oh, because they had the two outside linebacker spots as a way to get Fowler on there, and then they had Sainer still listed, who I haven't even mentioned yet, but is going to, I think, be huge. God, by the way, I watched the Connor Stallions doc this weekend on Netflix, and we can talk about that another time, perhaps. I don't know when we're going to talk about it, because our week is loaded getting ready for the games and the NFL to start. But the amount of times and big moments where Mike Sainer still is present for Michigan football last year, that dude is such a freaking baller. I cannot wait to watch him play.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, he switched to Diami's two, Sainer still's back to zero like he was at Michigan.
Scary.
And Mariota switched to 18.
Who's eight?
I don't know.
Oh, Brian Robinson.
Oh, yeah, B-Rob. So, yeah, he's 18. So that's that. But I think Sainer still, like, that's the other big question I have, is how much does Sainer still play inside versus outside? Do they, when they're in base, what do they do with him? Is he coming off the field? Because he's physical enough to go fit runs. Like, he'll go melee somebody. But I think keeping him out of that is probably good. And just, like, it's so funny because offensively, like, we know who the players are, and my big question is, how is Cliff going to use them? Defensively, I feel like my much bigger questions are, how are you going to use, like, which players are actually going to play, right? It's still how you use the players, but we don't know which ones are going to be on the field. And it's probably going to change week over week. But how much Dominique Campton do we see? How much Derek Forrest do we see? How much Percy Butler? How much Sainer still? Like, how much Jamin? How much Javonte Jean-Baptiste? How much Dante Fowler? Where is Frankie Louvu lining up, snap in, snap out? So there's just a lot of questions. And I think it's going to be really interesting to watch Joe Witt Jr. put it together this year. Obviously, DQ will have some input as well, but they got smart dudes. And I don't want to say it's boom or bust, but the it could boom, it could bust. Likely, it's going to be some mix in the middle where some guys will boom, some guys will bust, and then they'll address the ones that busted next offseason. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, we'll wrap up the show with our favorite thing from the show today and real things real people said into real microphones. All right, wrapping up here on the Team 980. Great show today. It was a Vibe Check Tuesday, and we had a good one. A lot of great calls in the first hour of the show. I explained also why I am cautiously optimistic for the Commanders in 2024. If you missed any of that, podcast, YouTube, the whole deal. But, Anthony, what if people want to go back and listen now that we're running out of show here in the next 12 minutes? What was your favorite part of the show today?
I'm not going to lie.
I hate when you say that. Like, if you now people are going to be like, oh, he didn't say he's not going to lie. Is he lying to us? You spit the truth, Anthony. No one's doubting you.
Okay. My favorite part of the show was your gas story, man. I'm happy that you and Rachel got
your... we should very much clarify what you mean by my gas story.
Oh, okay.
The story I told about the gas in my home.
Yes.
As in the public utility.
Yes. Craig had a gas leak, guys. And it got resolved.
Yes.
And this was an ongoing problem for a couple of days.
The gas leak itself was resolved quickly. Getting my gas back on, nightmare. But it ended in a public service announcement for everyone. And I personally did not have a gas problem.
No.
Anthony.
I see how that could have been taken out of context to a newcomer, you know, somebody that didn't tune in earlier.
The whole point of this segment of our favorite part of the show is that we're talking to people that we assume were not listening earlier in the show and telling them, hey, we know that we're running out of show and you might not be running out of commute and you should go listen to the parts that you missed on the podcast. Here's something you can look specifically for. And you started that process by talking about Craig's gas story.
Yes. So, guys, if you are listening now, go back to 5:50 p.m. or go back to the Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you listen, and listen to Craig's gas story.
Well, now that we've explained it, that's a perfectly reasonable way to describe it.
Yes.
Any other chaos you'd like to cause, sir?
Yes. I have another favorite part. Marvin had a good call today.
By Marvin standards. It wasn't.
You even said it. Marvin, this might have been your best call into the show ever.
As they would say in Boston, low bye.
Outside of that, I would not like to start any other fires.
Okay. How was your weekend, by the way?
My weekend was fantastic. I saw a shootout this weekend between Clark Atlanta and Fort Valley State down in Fort Valley, Atlanta. And when I tell you it was a shootout, I'm talking about fireworks. 400 yards passing from one quarterback. The other quarterback, he had two rushing, two passing.
Ooh.
It was a hell of a game. Hell of a game.
Love that. Good stuff. Yeah. Who you got this coming weekend?
So this week I won't be working. I have a wedding to attend.
Oh.
One of my friends from high school, he's getting married to his longtime girlfriend. I think they've been dating since 7th or 8th grade. It's been a long time.
Consistently? Like,
yes.
I'm not trying to hate, but like if they had broken up in high school and then got back together, like that'd be still an amazing story. But 7th grade straight? Dang. Yeah.
All the way through. We love to see it.
That's dedication.
That's love. Love is in the air.
Love is in the air. Yes. Love is in the air. You know what else is in the air? Real things real people said in the real microphones.
Real things.
We're not going to be so this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Okay, then. Oh, this is an intro. Anthony, you have me intrigued. Bryce James, as in LeBron's second oldest child.
Yes, sir.
His top 5 players in NBA history.
NBA history is going to knock your socks off.
Dylan. Okay, just kidding.
You're a top 5 NBA players of all time.
LeBron. MJ.
2. Okay.
Kobe.
Okay, 3. All right, here we go.
Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony.
Whoa. Okay. Fair. Personal top 5. All right.
Okay. I have a question. When people give their top 5, are they giving their top, like, what's the default setting for top five? Right?
Great question.
Top five, your favorite five players?
Okay.
Or is it, who do you think the best top five are? Because if those are his favorite five, fine.
Okay.
It, reflective of his age, a little bit of history. Some of those guys, their prime was, he's only like 17 years old. Like, he didn't even see Carmelo's prime.
Nope.
I guess he kind of did, but he was like a 9-year-old. But he was more than your average 9-year-old because, you know, that was one of his dad's best friends.
Yeah, that's
Uncle Melo. But if he thinks those are the five best players in NBA history, then he's wrong.
Yeah. The guy that was asking the question, he did say personal preference. So I guess
that's fine. Cause
I guess it is.
I think it might have been Carmelo's kid.
Yeah, it was Cayenne. That said Paul George the GOAT.
Yeah. And like, if that's his favorite player of all time, I'm not here to hate on people's favorites. Especially teenagers.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
If you think that is the best, then you need to re-crack open your history books. On a completely different note, Sydney Colson is a menace to society. She is a guard for the world champion Las Vegas Aces. She is the self-proclaimed face of the WNBA. She's hilarious. So funny, she got, in fact, invited to the old show Wild and Out, and she brought her teammates on stage, and then she did this to their faces.
Okay, this is my team. We the Las Vegas Aces.
Yeah.
But if we keep losing games, we gonna be in last place. Let's get it right.
We got to tighten up, she says. Something that definitely her teammates have said to her, not related to basketball, a lot.
That was hilarious, Craig. Hilarious. Because Sid Colson, like, she doesn't play a lot. So I just think, you know, she's...
But, like, it's funny because then people think she can't play. And it's like, no
she actually can.
Yeah, she's really good when she gets on the floor. There's times where I'm like, why didn't she play more often?
Yeah, they're loaded over there. Yeah. They're loaded, for sure.
That's why she doesn't play more often. Because she's stuck behind three Olympians at guard.
That is, oh man, that was good. That was a good laugh over the weekend.
Oh my God, I died. Alicia then tweeted, Alicia Clark, her teammate and my good friend, was like, hey, Asia Wilson, I think we need to take Sid out of the group chat. I don't think she's allowed anymore. We the Las Vegas Aces, if we don't win more games, we're going to be in last place. Come on, y'all, let's tighten up.
She's right.
I mean, that is how wins and losses go. All right, try to stack some more dubs tomorrow here on the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.